Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Welcome back for our, this is the third webinar in our series of looking at different page building environments. So yes, that's kind of our goal, that we've been looking at ways of using plugins for page building, what themes that are doing page building, third-party page building things, all these type of things that we'll take a look at. Today, we are spending time with Elementor. And if you just logged in the chat room at wpstudio.com/chat, we were just talking that in order for us to actually talk about page building, not just layout design stuff, we have to use the Elementor Pro version. So one of the things before we dive in, you will notice that Elementor does probably one of the better jobs of all the page building environment, plugin, theme, whatever, systems of communicating to different types of customers. And it's more of a rabbit trail here right off the bat. But if you want a case study in good marketing, all you have to do is go to the Elementor site, because they answer your question straight up front by who is Elementor for? And if you're sitting there going, well, I'm a marketer, you click on the marketing and they have a specific conversation with marketers so that they know marketing type things that come with the Elementor system. The idea of quickly spinning up landing pages, having a built-in form system, so you don't have to have another form plugin, creating pop-ups, so you don't have to have a pop-up plugin. All of these things are not things that we think of as, oh, page building environment. So Elementor really is trying to have conversation with different types of users based on what they are offering. But what this also does, and they admit it, it's an all-in-one platform. And I will mention this multiple times during today's webinar as we look at different areas. Elementor is building themselves into a walled garden. Now, that is both good and bad. Good means they can fine-tune the user experience and provide the best of all worlds to the people using Elementor. And Jesse, yes, absolutely. Like Divi has kind of, once you go Divi, you never go back. Unless you decide that you don't like Divi anymore, and then you have a whole mess of stuff to change. Same thing with Elementor. If you decide to leave Elementor, you're going to be looking for all the different pieces to put together that aren't Elementor. This is my own take. Again, has no bearing other than just watching the market. Elementor is positioning themselves to be purchased by a large hosting company so that they can become the page building environment on a slew of servers. And you'll notice how with Elementor, even though WordPress is in the back end, Elementor changes the user interface so that you feel like you're only in Elementor, even though it's on top of WordPress. So that's one of the reasons why you'll see that it is a growing walled garden, but that's not bad. If what Elementor offers fits your workflow, this could be a great solution for you. All right, so let's dive into our little test site here. I've gone ahead and I've installed the Elementor and Elementor Pro. Now, remember, if you want to try out Elementor Pro and see how things are going, it's up in the GPL share library, the share box. One of the big benefits of WP Studio membership is you get access to premium plugins and premium tools so you can try things out without having to outlay cost until you figure out if you actually like it or if it works for you. So in today's webinar, we're going to do basically two or three things. Three or four things. The first is a quick overview of how Elementor is different from page building systems like Beaver Builder and other things. Then we're going to look at some unique, well, we'll probably look at the unique settings that you should be aware of before you get started first. Then we'll go into just the user experience. Then we'll talk about dynamic data. And then finally, we will get into the page building environment. And when I talk about page building, and this is what it's going to be like for all the different webinars in the series, I am personally defining page building as the ability to go in and modify single post templates, archive post templates, 404 pages, search result pages, all the elements of a traditional WordPress website that required us to go into the theme, go into PHP template files, use template tags, use the query, use the loop, all those type of things. And our whole deep dive into page building comparisons is we're seeing who can actually make the shift to a visual environment and not a code-based environment, if that makes sense. So, because we are going to dive into this Elementor theme builder stuff. So this is where we're starting. We've got Elementor Pro and we've got the free Elementor that we can log in. Now, in order to do any of our page building stuff, you have to have the Pro version. The straight Elementor, I will simply call it as a design layout, where you can design the layout of a page or a post. You're not designing template systems. And hopefully that'll make more sense. Now, second thing is, if you are playing around with Elementor Pro from the GPL share box, you will see this, oh, wow, I love being on the bleeding edge and let me see this. Ignore this. If you didn't know this, all this is going to do is install a beta version of a plugin that it's basically pulls it from the WordPress repository, and it adds another plugin, Elementor Pro Dev, and you just get bleeding edge versions of the next steps or the next new modules, the next new things they're testing out. The reason why I would recommend that, sure, maybe you can play around with this if you're on a complete dev site where no end production is being done, because they are upfront in saying, if you use the developer edition, don't be surprised if when we go release the next version of Elementor, we have removed something from the developer version from the release version, which means you could build this really awesome looking landing page for your client and Elementor updates, and they basically terminate and delete some new functionality, some new module that you were testing out for them in this developer edition, and they decided not to use it. Well, that's part of a danger of using the cutting edge unreleased stuff. So all that's what this is. They're really trying to get people to beta test their stuff. Don't use this on a live production site, because they are very specific that they may remove things when they release items. All right. So let's talk about a few of the settings, just because there's one or two items that are slightly different than other page builders, like, you know, Beaver Builder or Brizzy, which we're going to look at tomorrow. In the settings for Elementor, yes, we do get the traditional things of when we want to turn on and off the options of using Elementor as the page design or page canvas system. And you've got your post types here. You can choose them. In the integration, all you need to know is these are modules that when we get to the page building environment, that they may have some advanced connectivity points, whether it's like to a newsletter system like MailChimp or, you know, to some a Facebook or reCAPTCHA. This is where you want to add everything. Now, want you to know about this one, because this is kind of important. And unless you're digging through all the settings, it could be a section, especially if you're new to Elementor, you don't take advantage. So first off, when we are developing a site with Elementor, we're going to be doing lots of saving, lots of changing, lots of updating. And so therefore, we don't want to mess with caching and everything. So make sure all the CSS that is being generated by Elementor to create the layouts and the columns and the rows and the modules and the design and the structure of the site, keep it internal embedding. That way, when you make a change, it'll show up real time on the site that you are looking at. When you go live or you turn the site over to a client, turn it to an external file. So that now Elementor will generate all of their special code into files that will be WP and Q script, put in that function, in that hook. And this allows caching plugins to cache all this stuff. So this is how you speed up your site. The problem with a lot of people is they simply leave internal embedding in there, and that's why many Elementor sites are slow, because there's so much stuff going on, so much stuff being changed and updated, it can't get cached. And then ignore we're not going to be dealing with any of the experiments in today's webinar. The other things to know about is, I will show you in just a moment, there is a form builder that is built into Elementor Pro. All your submissions that come into the form builder show up here, and we'll deal with that. The custom fonts and custom icons are just like how Generate Press does it, just like how Voce Press does it, allows you to customize and add your own fonts and icons. Custom code is slightly different because it is pure code and it's only placed in one or two areas. Whereas Voce Press and Generate Press have, for Generate Press, it was the elements that you can assign to specific hooks or locations. Same as Voce Press has the custom blocks, which we can assign and conditionally assign. Elementor has something like that, but you only have access to the head, body start, body end. And it is to put straight code. This is not to put in, you know, a banner ad or something else like that. This is straight here. You have to type in your own conditional logic. If you do but what I'm saying is, for this is more meta titles, tracking codes. If Google Analytics says, hey, you need to verify that you own the domain, and therefore you need to have the code right at the top of the head. So we put it in the header area, we'll put a one priority, and you paste the code, hit publish, and that's put out there. Or maybe you have a jQuery additional script that needs to be added towards the end of the site, just plop it in there, put your code link, whatever code you're doing, and it will handle that in that location. So that's how Elementor does this. The only other thing we're going to talk about before we dive in is in this tool section. The reason why I'm showing you this is over here is in version control. There are lots of updates to Elementor. Georgia, no, you can't use this custom code for just adding code snippets elsewhere, but there are other ways to do it. And I'll show you that in a module or something where you can add a code snippet somewhere else in a template or something like that. This is simply custom code that would be for the HTML DOM, the HTML document, either the header or inside the body tag or right before the body tag closes. So the version control allows us to roll back to any version of Elementor. They had to put this in here because they update Elementor a lot. And that can mean you could break something. They could deprecate something. They could turn off a certain module. Well, this way, rather than doing something, you can actually roll back to a prior version of Elementor. I'm not sure why I'm in. Oh, I know why. I was testing out that dev mode for you. Let's just reinstall the, let's roll back that version. Come on, roll back. Okay, good. Okay, we've rolled back. So we are now using not the dev version. That's how easy it was. We're now, this basically tells you which version you're on, and then you can choose which version you want to roll back to. Now, the other one is maintenance mode. We just a few weeks ago had a webinar on doing maintenance mode. We looked at some plugins. Well, Elementor has a built-in type of maintenance mode that offers two different maintenance modes. One of them is when you are developing the site, you could just do a coming soon. Now you could say that only the administrators who are logged in can get access to the full site and bypass the coming soon screen. And then I choose my template. I have to go create one and then assign it to this choose template. But what this does is for the entire front end of the website, it's going to return a 200 error code that is basically telling the search engines, hey, the site is ready to be indexed. You can index the coming soon, but please come back because there will be a big change to the site when it's fully released. Or you can put it into a maintenance mode. It will return a 503, an error thing, and that basically turns the search engine around, say, don't do anything here. The search bot is invited to come back and check again at a later date. Big difference is coming soon does get indexed. Maintenance mode does not get indexed, but both tell the search bots to come back. So you can choose to turn one of these on in this location. So it's a nice little feature. All right. So those are the settings to be aware of right out of the box. There's a lot of other settings. You can read their documentation to figure out some of that. Let's take a quick look at, with Elementor being a page building environment, it is very much like it operates with WordPress the same way Beaver Builder does, where it stands in the background until you, the user, say, I want to use Elementor. Same way with Beaver Builder, that there's a button that says, hey, edit this with Beaver Builder or edit this with Elementor. The moment we click this, we leave the WordPress environment, and the traditional page layout for Elementor is similar to the environment that the customizer offers. So the WordPress customizer has all of your settings and things that you can manage on the left-hand side and a real-time update of what this site looks like. So when we are working in this area, we do have our modules on the left-hand side, as well as lots of different settings. One big difference, and I know it's coming to Beaver Builder and there's some variations in it, but Elementor for the longest time has done this straight out of the box. With Beaver Builder, I just navigate to the page that I want to be at, and I begin editing this. You'll notice how I can't really navigate to different areas of the site with Elementor. Well, that's because we use a navigator down here. Not that one. Let me make sure. All right, well, the navigator, we'll pull this up in just a moment. Let me just find, this is what I want. This is the settings for the actual page. Bear with me, I jumped ahead of where I wanted to be. All right, so let's talk about this. Let me actually go back to the dashboard for just a moment because I want to turn off the sidebar. I'm just making sure that there's no sidebar. And again, I'm using Voce Press, which works really well with Elementor. Oh, and that's a big difference as well. Elementor does not have a standard theme the same way Generate Press actually has its Beaver Builder has its own theme that works really well with the Beaver Builder plugin. Elementor doesn't really have one. It should work out of the box with every single theme out there. Some themes, as you'll see, like Voce Press, work really well with Elementor, and even to the point of if you use the header builder, which we will in just a moment with Elementor, it takes over the Voce Press header builder and just it gets out of its way. You'll see that in just a moment. Okay. Here's a big difference right now out of the box with Elementor Pro versus Beaver Builder, which is the biggest comparison out there right now. Beaver Builder over in the element section or the module section, as they call it, has rows and modules. There are no rows in Elementor unless you use it directly here. It's called sections. You're not going to find a section thing here. You are going to manage your sections dynamically on the live canvas. So you're not going to drag over a section and then position that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click the section. See how that's been done? And I can choose my structure. Now, the other thing that people struggle with is if I drag a module over here and it looks like, oh, see how I've highlighted the blue gets darker or lights up, and I drop it, you're going to notice that it drops above here. Why? Because the way Elementor works is everything, every row is basically a section. And if you don't define the section first, Elementor is going to dynamically create one for you. So let me actually get rid of this. I have to hover over the right section. Now, this is where I can use the navigator and I can come over here and then delete. That's where the best way to use that. But you'll notice how now we've got a little section thing. I can come over to the column and literally delete that and get back to, we should be able to get back to our. Yes, Georgia, you're right. And we'll do that in just a moment. Okay, so one of the easiest ways is to come over here and define your structure, and now you're going to see it show up. See that? Now, when I right-click, we can come over here and start dealing with items. I can remove, if I have that double thing, delete those, and then exit out. All right. So, now let's quick jump back over here. Now, the nice thing is I want to show you something that is helpful. You can get really deep, like multiple level deeps in the settings. For example, like if I come over here and I grab my form and I'm going to edit my form, and then I'm getting into what the message form is, whether there's an advanced thing, whether there's default values. And then I'm jumping into the styling of this element, going into the button stylings. Don't worry, I'm trying to make this deeper. And then you're like, whoa, I need to get out and go back to the modules. And the easiest way always, just go to these 9 box icons, and it's just going to automatically go jump all the way back. No matter how deep into the settings area you are, it'll just jump back here. It's just a good thing to know. You can always jump back into this area when we start looking at the form and other items. All right, so let me actually, I'm going to delete that for just a moment. So Elementor, the page designer or the layout system, operates with these elements or modules. There's free versions, which are just some basic structure things, text, heading, buttons. The pro version has lots of pre-designed elements, logins, galleries, forms, image boxes. You'll also see site information. This is, again, more for page building, where we want a page title, nav, menu, and then definitely for page building when we begin to pull the post title from that post. This is when we're creating templates that will be assigned to all the single posts from a certain custom post type as a way to display that content. It'll all be in this area. And then you have access to all the WordPress widgets. Now, if you add additional Elementor plugins, they will show up in this ever-growing list of elements / modules that you can use. I did want to point out, because a lot of the marketing material on the Elementor website, I think, oversells the form builder. It is just a really advanced contact form system, partly because conditional logic is not what you can do as opposed to using an actual Gravity Forms or a form plugin. Because the form builder is, while it's very useful and you have tons of options, I can simply stack the elements of a form. I'm not going to be going through and adding in columns and different design layouts. It's just stacking the items, but I can do a lot, and I have a lots of different types of fields, even the basic text, email, text area, URLs, but I can go in numbers, dates, file uploads, passwords, reCAPTCHA, honeypots. All these are different types of fields I can use. But you'll notice that with my fields here, even in the advanced area, there is not a conditional logic that I can say, show this field if this other field has certain content. Something that you could do if you were using an actual form builder plugin. The reason I'm saying this is it's perfectly fine if you just need to collect contact information from a client, because it's going to allow you to do actions after the submission, and you can do multiple actions. I'll show you this. You can come in here and you can collect the submissions. That just adds it to that list page in the WordPress admin. I can send emails. So I can send an email that has all the information that somebody filled out. I can redirect to another page once they've filled out the information, which means we could probably assign, we could get information in from the URL. I can run a webhook. I can connect this up to a few different like mailing systems, but there's only a few of them, in which case you'd probably end up using the webhook a lot more. And yes, each time you change something or add a functionality, an action after the thing, it's going to open up options, but that's it. And I'm not trying to undersell it. It just, for most people who are used to building complex forms, you're going to get so frustrated with this that you need to stick with a form builder. If all you're doing is doing a contact page, great. You may feel slightly constrained with it, but it's there. It's, if you just have a client who needs like a brochure site, maybe you don't need an extra form builder plugin. All right, so we've talked about how you can create your rows, because they call them sections. You can design them and then add and drop these different elements. Now, we also want to, I want to show you, let me pull up my basic. I think this one will have it. Here's my heading. Basically, a heading is just some content. Elementor does dynamic content out of the box. Elementor Pro the regular Elementor does some of it, but Elementor Pro already hooks up with pods, already hooks up with Metabox, already hooks up with a number of plugins that expand the capability of WordPress within the custom fields environment. You're going to see that while I can write my title here, off on the right-hand side is the same icon that Beaver Themer uses, as well as Generate Press uses, to initiate a request to the database to get dynamic content. So when we click this item, we are presented with every type of dynamic content we can pull from the database that would be in reference to whatever post ID is being displayed. Now, this will come into more contact when we actually build the theme builder stuff here in just a moment, but I wanted to show you this because I can pull out Metabox fields. I can pull out, here's all your post title, your custom fields. I can pull out archive information. I can pull out page titles. I can pull out featured image stuff, author stuff, comments. And look at that. If you have pods installed and you're designing stuff for your pods item, I have no pod stuff in here. So even though I can come over here to a pods field, I can't actually connect that field yet. But if I were connecting something like a Metabox field, this is where I select the different fields. So if I had like a Marianne, yes, there are additional plugins. I am trying to eliminate talking about additional plugins so that we can just take a look at the core. Partly because I believe Elementor needs to add conditional logic for them to be a true page builder. But that's another story. All right. So notice how easy it is to find the different fields. So I don't have to go hunting for the field name because I made a custom field with pods or Metabox or something else. All of them are here. I simply select which one I want. We're connecting it up. I say I want the director name in my advanced section. I can even put directed by, I don't think there's anything there because I erased it. So I can put something before and my little setting is going to pull that director field from Metabox or whatever it is that's going to assign that to this page. It'll make a little bit more sense here in just a moment when we actually dive into the theme builder. But for the most part, this aspect of Elementor on WordPress operates fairly similar, different design, different user experience, but has overarching structures that are similar to Beaver Builder. Because, you know, Beaver Builder, you could mount this type of a settings panel on the left-hand side, and they could operate with the modules, dragging and dropping, setting that up. But let's go back here to our exit to the dashboard. And when you install Beaver Builder Pro, keep messing up these names. When you install Elementor Pro, you're going to be introduced to basically, it's massive functionality, but a user interface nightmare. This is not bad. This is simply growing pains. Why? Because currently, Elementor has multiple admin menus here that basically go to the same location, yet I'm going to tell you that this is probably going to change in the future. I think they will simply just have an add template and basically where you're going to have this add new and you will see all of the options managed in the same location. And this will be the important thing where you simply select what it is you want to build rather than, oh, I want a pop-up. I go here, add new. Because look, I'm still using the same creation page. They're just pre-filling in some items for you. It is a bit of a mess because if you go to the add new or you go to the save templates, or you go to the landing pages, you're going to get to the same area. Because if I go to my save templates, I see, well, I don't even see all the items, but if I hit add new, I will see things. I will see my pop-up. I will see my archives. I will see my global widgets. So basically the add new is this section. The pop-ups is here. The theme builder are these next items. But then the add new is everything. This is what's a growing pain because Elementor develops really fast, which is great. They've got an awesome team of developers, but it means they're constantly Frankensteining. They're building on top of itself, and they haven't quite worked out the direct user interface system that they want. I'm going to tell you where I know they want to go, but they can't get there yet because they've still got all this legacy stuff. They want to go here, where you go to this location and you manage everything about your theme. Because this is basically everything that was on that other page where you just simply add an element. Where did it go? These are just what you want. If I want to add a header, I'm working within the header, but now I'm back in the Elementor area. So let me cancel out of this. I hope that wasn't too confusing. All I'm trying to say is every single time you log into Elementor, this may change. It's constantly out there. All right. So you can build pop-ups. You can build landing pages. You can download all their templates from their kit library. So these would be whether it's different modules, pre-designed blocks, pre-designed headers, footers, call to action things, full on websites, as well as a few other areas. So maybe I'll just show this to you. In the pop-up builder, one of the nice things about this is the pop-up builder for Elementor creates a visual experience so you know exactly what the pop-up is going to look like. But at this point, if you've never used Elementor, you're going to be thinking, well, how do I assign it to a certain location? How do I assign it to a button? How do I make it occur on only the homepage? And this is why we're going to go through and make another pop-up. Again, anytime you name anything, you don't actually have to put something there. It is for your own thing, your own understanding, and it has nothing to do with what goes on the front end. So I'm going to go ahead and, let's just not, basically everything is going to be pro and I didn't connect the account. So I'm just going to come back over here and let's do exactly what we did with the other one. We're going to create a little image cover over here. Now notice how this is also a way that, well, what if I did this, a dynamic image of the featured image? It would show a featured image, and I'm not going to do this, but when we get to the conditional logic elements of the theme builder and the pop-up builder, I could say only show on single post pages, but we could have a pop-up that has a background of the featured image of that post that they're on. I don't know why you do that, but you could, because you have the dynamic capabilities. Or you can just grab your own image that you've got on your site. Now, at this point, once you've designed everything, styled it, given it its width, height, whatever, your advancements, your motion effects and animations and repositioning and masks and borders and custom CSS, whatever you're wanting, when you go publish, you are now presented with conditional logic. This is also for a bunch of other theme builders. We're starting with the page builder because it's the easiest one to, we're starting with the pop-up builder. It's the easier one to show you these advanced conditional settings. So we have conditions, triggers, and advanced rules. A condition is basically just where to include it or where to exclude it. You have the ability to include and exclude. I can entire site, go to only archives of what type of archives, or only a singular post, whether it is a post for regular posts or in the book's custom post type or certain books by whatever author. There's only a single author, so it won't drop down. It only drops down options if there are options. But I can just say only pages will get this. And you can create as many conditions as you want. At this point, if you're happy, don't hit next because that's going to take you to the next thing and the next thing. Just make sure you save and close. If that's the only thing you wanted to do is choose when to show it, perfect. Now I can also just add a condition that it'll be on the entire site. Otherwise, hit next, and you are now given how do you want this pop-up to work. So this is 100 times better than the Beaver Builder add-on plugin that does pop-ups, because now we are able to say, how do you want? You've already said in your condition, it's for the entire site. How do we trigger this? Well, are we doing on the page load? Click this. Within how many seconds after page load? Well, no, wait till we scroll. Maybe if you scroll down 15%, then we will show it. Great. Or what if they scroll up? Perfect thing. You know why? Because this is somebody who's reading the post, they got to the bottom, and they want to know more, or they want to go back up to your navigation. I love it when this is an option. It's something that's overlooked with a lot of animation pop-up systems. So when you start scrolling back up, that's when it triggers. It's kind of like on an exit as your mouse moves off the screen. But this is actually, people are by their own actions indicating they want to know more about your site. I'm going to show that to you in just a moment. Or what if it's scroll to an element? So let's say you have a certain CSS class or an ID deeper on the homepage, and you're just waiting for that to become visible on the visual area of the site. Or if you on-click, this is a great one that, since we've already set it on three things on the site, let's wait till they click three things. I'll show you how that operates too. Now notice how we can do it on two different things. Or after activity, how many seconds they're just sitting there, or if they try and X the site. I'm going to click next. We're going to try these in just a moment. Click save this. Now, these are even more advanced things. We go only show this on certain devices. Only show this on certain browsers. Custom. What type of browsers are we going to do? Hide this for logged in users. Show this if they're coming from search engines. See that? Or if they're coming from external links. Well, how are we showing this? Or if they're coming from a specific, if they're coming from Facebook.com, then we want to show this. A lot of options here. Let's save and close this. We've already published this. Let's go have a look at our site. So here we are on the site, and here's something I want you to be aware of. We are still basically under the control of Elementor. Why? Go take a look at the URL, and we're still here in this Elementor library. If you want to make sure that you are using your actual site to demonstrate something, it would be encouraging that if you actually go to the actual site. Now, this is our, I don't even know if I can, there's our scroll down. Really hard, but the scroll, I couldn't really scroll back up because I was already at the bottom and I was already scrolling up here. So there's our little item. Now watch what happens. I'm going to go to the Hello World. That's one click. Let's go to the WordPress commentator. Whoops. Didn't want that. Let's go to sample page, two clicks, home page. Where's my, oh, because I already closed the thing. I would have to go back in and we'd have to change these triggers here so that we're not using the scroll up. We're just using the on click. Let's try that again. Go to our test site. There's one, two. I think that I might have had to refresh. No, there's my third one. It shows up. So there's some really cool things you can do. But we spent that time just so you could see in the saved options, when we start doing page building environments, this is where your display option is. This is where your triggers are, if you have triggers. Most of the things are going to have display options. So let's dive back in. Let's go back over here. And landing pages is operating just like pop-ups. They're standalone pages. Now you could do the same thing with regular WordPress pages, just use traditional Elementor to design the layout, and then you serve it in a specific area. Landing pages do have some additional things, not much, but basically when you create your landing page, sure, we can, let me just grab this. We'll insert this. I'm just grabbing one of their library. It does take a little bit of time because it has to download everything, then place it in here. But here's where no real extra information that we're going to be able to do. But if we had a theme like VocePress that has the ability to get out of the way of a page builder by simply choosing, hey, we're going to use our, let's go to a page. We're going to go to our page here and we're going to choose our page builder template and gets out of the way. I could sit there and I can edit with Elementor and design everything. Now the header and footer are still there, but we could do that with the theme builder of Elementor. All right, let's jump back over here. But you notice how that there is no sidebar, no nothing. The whole content area is given over to the page builder. All right, let's jump back to this location. And then finally, we deal with the theme builder. So theme builder is simply a way for you to create a header, you to create a footer, and assign conditions to when those headers or those footers would be used. And then create what a single post would design to look like, and then assign it to whichever custom post type you want to use that thing. So same way, if you're using pods, you don't have to go through and use the pods template system. You could use Elementor to create all your archive pages and all your single post pages for pods. And then you can create your search results in error 404. You don't have to use this new theme builder. Right now, the new theme builder is simply just a visual environment to look at the overview of your entire site. Everything that you would click on from within here would get you to this page. It's no different. Sorry, I need a little drink of tea here. So let's go ahead and I want to show you how awesome VocePress is with working with Elementor, specifically with creating a header and creating a footer. So let's create a new item. It's going to be a header, and we'll call this our woo header. Create the template. Then we are loaded into the environment, and I'm going to not load up any predefined things, so just exit out. And we are shown our environment like the customizer, but you notice how the bottom part, this whole area, is VocePress. But the VocePress header is gone. Why? Because Elementor said, I want to build a header. So now I can come over here, drag my little header information, add my header text, whatever I want to do. Maybe I want to actually split the item. And let's go ahead and drag this and put this in this element. Oops, like I'm sorry. I I dragged it to the point where I've now created three elements. So let's go back over here, and I don't know, what do we want to put in here? A login form. No, we don't. Well, we can do that. All right. So we put a login over here. And what do we want to add here? Sure. Let's do a search form. So we'll just make a horrible looking header. Now, when I go to publish, I could do this, but see, there's a display condition. So I can always go back in and check this, but I'm going to hit publish. This is where I add my condition, and this is where I can include and exclude this specific header. Let's just go to singular for any pages. So a single page. You're going to see why in just a moment. Save and close. And now let's go take a look at our site. View this live site. Now, again, I'm using this, so I'm going to get rid of that just so I can make sure I'm using this. Here I am with VocePress. Here's the VocePress header that is by default in the theme. When I go to the post, we're still using this. But when I go to a page, look at that. We are using Elementor's header builder. You didn't have to do anything. VocePress got out of the way of Elementor because Elementor said, for this page, I want to do the header. That's part of one of the benefits of Elementor's theme builder. So I can do the same thing with the footer. Now I could just overwrite the footer or overwrite the header, design my own header, design my own footer, and then I don't have to worry about VocePress. VocePress can just handle other integrations like custom one-off pages or simply as a way to display the website and connect the SEO stuff or have the hooks in the right location. That's one of the things why you'd still need a theme. You need a theme to provide the structure of your display to have those hooks. But I can come in here and now say, well, hey, I want to create a archive page. And this is where I create my archive page where I can pull in, let's grab posts. Well, here's my posts where I can now, this is by just a simple little pre-made post area. I could create cards so they look slightly different. There's three or four skins, designs. There's lots of add-on plugins for Elementor that would change the way to do this, but I can handle all these layout informations, which metadata, but look, I have also access to the query. Well, what if I want to pull out my upcoming books? Here's two books that I've got. Notice how it's now changing. I can sort the date. I can handle the query of how I order it and what's the order and am I including authors? If I start typing, maybe if I actually type the name of an author, there's Benjamin. So only include posts by Benjamin. So I can handle the query. Basically, we're going to create whatever layout we want for the archive page. And there's our ability to go to conditions, include this for the archive, for books archive, save and close. And now that's going to be the book archive, whatever we designed here. So you have this amazing ability to dive into this location, lay information out, or sure, you can use these layouts, or you can simply go in and use things like, where to go? Here, you have archive title, archive post, but I could also come over here and grab another heading. And this is a great way that here in my heading, maybe I want to, rather than the heading, maybe I want to add a custom field, but I don't have any pods fields on that. So there's my key. There we go. Book overview, maybe. I don't think I have anything in there. It would help if we had actually added content, but you get the idea. This is a way that we can start. We don't have to use pre-designed. You can slowly construct with different fields that have dynamic content pulled in and you can style visually the output of the archive page, of the single post page, all these things that would have required you to go into your PHP template files and custom write the PHP. But with Elementor, you are able to do that all within their theme builder. Now, their theme builder doesn't have to be the visual layout. You can simply handle everything in this environment here, where I can see this is an archive page for the books archive. This is a header that's only showing up on pages. This is the pop-up that's going to the entire site. This is a header that's in draft mode that's not going anywhere. So I have all this visual information that I can walk away from. So in terms of page building, not having to go into PHP, Elementor is an all-in-one solution. And yes, as you've noticed in the chat room, both Georgia and Marianne, there are other plugins that you can add on that are Elementor extensions that can do additional things. But at the core of creating your archive and singular post pages, you don't have to have a separate plugin like Beaver Themer to do this. You don't actually have to customize the theme to handle Elementor's overwrite. Now, some themes like VocePress are coded in such a way that it's actually checking to see if you're running Elementor's theme builder and stepping out of the way if you turn on a header to be used in some location. And then VocePress moves its header stuff or footer stuff, so you're not overwriting information. You don't have to do any additional code to that. So while there are lots of stuff to take a look at with Elementor, it really is a walled garden. You kind of, if Elementor works for you and how you build with, stick with it, because the amount of other stuff you're going to have to rewrite for your sites, great. It is less intrusive than Divi. When I say intrusive, if I turned off Elementor, all your content would be there and the structure, layout content, the divs aren't going to break the actual content. It may look horrible, but the content would be there and you would be able to kind of restart or if you need to move away. It's a pain, but I would encourage you to, again, if you want to go Elementor, if you've been in Elementor and you got in at the great price long time ago, it might be worth sticking around. But if you're trying to get into it now, it's getting expensive in order to do theme builder. Now, if all you are looking for is simply the Elementor page layout system, not the full theming stuff, I think there may be better options out there. But if you want to take advantage of all the advanced features of Elementor, it could be your toolkit. And Jess, you hit the nail on the head. I believe Elementor is positioning itself to get bought out by someone else. And if you guys missed the Monday email or the forum post, even some of the largest plugins out there are being gobbled up now that Yoast SEO has been bought by the new EIG monster. And it's one thing to change from an SEO plugin where a lot of plugins write migration tools, because all that is just code in the database. It's another thing to have to change from a design element from the front end. But you'll notice, and as a side note, I know I said this at the beginning, if you want to learn good marketing, spend some time just looking at the Elementor website. They do a good job of communicating through their menu. There's a lot going on. And I think they do one of the better jobs of having conversations with customers. So right now, if I were rating, Elementor has kind of gotten a higher boost over Beaver Builder, yet I have more confidence that Beaver Builder is not going to get bought out right now. I have less confidence that Elementor won't get bought out. Now, it's always possible that when they get bought out, everything will just continue to improve, but within the WordPress world, it's very rare that a tool continues to improve once they get bought out. Now, Marianne, part of the reason is the entire design element user interface that they have been pushing to kind of mask the fact that they're using WordPress. And I see them pursuing a buyout of presenting themselves as a headless WordPress design tool, where WordPress will still power all these websites because, hey, WordPress offers great database integration, great user stuff, great control of access and SEO work. But a large conglomerate, Marianne, partly because Beaver Builder is so open source in terms of its hooks and functions that it literally lives in the ethos of WordPress GPL. And so it's a harder thing for a large company to come buy something out if there's not a unique selling proposition that makes it not look like WordPress. And I could see this could be the new way of working and designing WordPress websites like Elementor. I could even see them creating a whole other section with this entire interface where this is where you write your blog post. This is right where you write your other stuff. I could see Elementor going that direction and skinning or creating a new user interface for WordPress, whereas WordPress still will exist as a headless option. And the server companies would love it because then they can divorce the bloated WP admin area, which causes lots of issues for serving environments, especially if you have tons and tons of people logging in on the same server. Well, what if you can basically just have one server handling the WordPress database structure with the headless WordPress, other servers handling the interaction of users? Interesting thoughts. I could be completely wrong, but I see, and here's the other thing. Elementor, I will make this claim, has come the farthest in the shortest amount of time of all page builder systems. When they first started, it was just like using either Customizer or Beaver Builder. But in the shortest amount of time, they have come the farthest to create basically everything you need in an environment. But don't take my word for it. Jump on over to the GPL share box if you're not used to using Elementor and try it out. Tomorrow, I am going to show you a plugin that goes the exact opposite philosophy of Elementor, where Elementor basically takes over your whole theme builder environment. And we're going to look at Brizzy, a super powerful page builder that tries to be as minimalistic as possible. So I hope you have a great rest of the day. Love to hear any conversation about Elementor, likes, dislikes, wishes. Best place to do that is probably in the forum, and we can continue that conversation there. I hope you've enjoyed kind of taking a deeper wide, this is a wide dive. So let me call these the belly flop webinars. Kind of, we're going to go deep in the on the diving board, but we're going to be as wide as possible and just belly flop into the pool. So we may be successful. We may not. But take care. I'll hopefully see you tomorrow for Brizzy. Take care, everybody.